Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle, where the physical church is located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Pastor Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. A big welcome to all of you who are joining us today by technology. We're thankful for your devices, but we're very thankful for your presence with us this morning. Let me say Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. We celebrate you this day, and to all that are serving in that capacity, to everyone who is leading and loving and nurturing and serving others, today is truly your day. We celebrate and we honor you, and we bless the Lord for you. At this time, we are going to have our scripture and prayer read by Brian. He will be reading to you from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verses 11 through 13. And then he will read 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9.
Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day that we get to spend in your presence. Thank you for your all-encompassing mercies and constant grace. We ask on this Mother's Day service that you bless all the maternal figures in our lives, for who knew there would be without them. Allow us to receive the message you have for us today, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And now we will have a worship selection by Deacon Bruce and Bruce Jr.
Thank you.
until they can sense they can feed themselves. Mothers, like other species, shelter and protect. A great deal of what we learn comes from our mothers. Mothers teach us to value the safety of their presence. They teach us to trust and to know what they say and what they will do. Good leaders do the same thing. Good leaders can be in our lives in the way of dads, fathers, coaches, teachers, siblings, government officials, grandparents, managers, and directors. We are taught and we learn from many different people in our lives. It is from this process of learning that we develop habits. Many of our habits come from what we have seen and what we view, what we do, and what we have been exposed to. Your habits are very important. They are the building blocks for your destiny. Where you are going and how far you will go will be directly related to the habits that you have today. Aristotle, a Greek scientist and philosopher, said this: "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, therefore, is not an act or an action. Excellence is a habit." So today we're going to talk about holy habits. Holy habits are a way of life for those who are actively living out the call of Jesus Christ in their lives. Holy habits are maintained by effective seekers, those who spend time with the Lord, who clear the way, and who respond to the voice of the Lord. I'm inviting you today to look with me at the habit of King Asa. King Asa was a king in Judah, and he reigned for 41 years. He was recorded in the Bible as one of the good kings. You see, King Asa did good until he didn't. I'm going to be reading in your hearing 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through chapter 16. Don't get nervous. Don't panic. I'm just going to be reading a few verses from each of these chapters to summarize and to highlight some of the high points of King Asa's reign. Now, if you're a note taker and you take notes, which I hope you are and I hope you do, I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 2, verse 8, verse 12, and verse 15. So if you write that down, I will be reading, I'm sorry, that was chapter 15. Chapter 14, I'm going to be reading to you from verses 2 through 4, verse 7, verse 11, and 12. And it reads like this: Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He removed the foreign altars and the high places. He smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey his laws and commands. Let's go to verse 7. It says, "Let us build up these towns," he said to Judah, that's King Asa talking, "and put walls around them with towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord. We sought him, and he has given us rest on every side." So they built, and they prospered. Let's run to verse 11, and it says, "Then Asa called to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, there is none, no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you." Verse 12 says, "The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah." Let's go to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, there I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, verse 8, verse 12, and verse 15. Verse 1 says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Obed. He went to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Verse 8 says, then Asa heard these words in the prophecy from Azariah, son of Obed, the prophet. He took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the towns that he captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. Verse 12 says, they entered into covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and with their heart, with all of their heart and soul. Verse 15, all of Judah rejoiced about the oath they had sworn, because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. So you see here, good leaders lead by example. Asa got rid of the sinful things, and he commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord. Then he went into battle with the Cushites. Now the Cushites were mighty. They were larger, they had more power, and they were bigger than Asa. Have you ever been up against something that was bigger than you? Mm-hmm. In chapter 15, we see some holy habits. Remember now, just because you clean up the junk in your life doesn't mean that it won't try to come back in. That's why we have to have holy habits. And what we see here is Asa seeking the Lord. Over and over again, he sought the Lord. The great thing about seeking the Lord is that there is a guarantee he will be found by you. So let's run through the Word of God one more time on that, seeking the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 9 and 10. This Psalms 9 and 10, and just read that. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Let's go to Proverbs 8 and 17. This is good wisdom talking. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. There is the promise again. I believe Brian read Jeremiah 9 and 13, where it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I believe Pastor Ford would add to the witness, as he said, let us add to the witness and run over to the New Testament and look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Your job is to seek, and God will be found. He promised that, and he will do just that. He will do just that. Now, in chapter 16 sums up the end of King Asa's reign. These are the last years of his reign. Asa had a habit of doing what God said. But what you will see here is that the king decides to go his own way. He began to lose confidence in the Lord. And what he did, as it is recorded in the scripture, is that he takes money from the temple of God and from his own palace to bribe King Aram to take sides with him to come against another king, King Baasha, who had been threatening to overtake him. King Asa decided that his plan was better than God's plan. Remember, just one chapter ago, he defeated the Cushites, stronger, larger, and more powerful than his army. And the Lord gave him the victory. God did that. But we see here his confidence beginning to slip. So instead of seeking the Lord as was his custom, his habit, he sought only a human solution to his problem. He believed that his way alone was the best way. Hear me now. It is not sin to use human means to solve our problems. It is not sin to use human means to solve our problems. But it is sin to trust those human means more than we trust our God. Yes, that's sin. Man's way is not better than God's way. Now, I know that none of you have done this, but I'm just talking about me now. There's sometimes we get so full of ourselves that we go our own way and we leave God out of the equation. That's never happened to you. I'm just talking about me now. We go our own way and we leave God completely out of the problem-solving process. That's not a gray area. That's sin. That's the wrong way to go. And things usually they don't go well when you leave God out of the process. Oh, how we must remain committed to the right process. The process is the way, God's way. The way is the habit, holy habit. Habits are what we repeatedly do. What is it that you do? This is why I want to preach this right, because I believe that God wants us to hold on to our holy habits. Not your bad habits, not your weekend habits, not your when nobody's looking on the download habits, not your Sunday morning habits when everybody's watching. God wants us to hold on to holy habits, not your work habits, not your exercise habits, and not your study habits. God wants us to hold on to our holy habits. Look with me at chapter 16, verse 7 says, at that time, Hanani, the seer, the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Fully committed to him. Do you have a habit of seeking the Lord, listening to his voice, and doing what he tells you to do? You see, it is recorded that when Asa sought the Lord and did exactly what God told him to do, he experienced the favor of the Lord. But when he stopped seeking the Lord and he stopped responding in obedience, the king experienced a very different reaction. There's always a reward for obedience, and there's always consequence for disobedience. Hebrews 4 and 13 says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, says all things are naked and laid bare before him to whom we must all give an account. Young people, think about it. Think about what you do when you think nobody is watching, because we all have to give an account. Just because you haven't got caught yet doesn't mean nobody knows. God knows. Do you want the blessing or do you want the consequence? All things are naked and laid bare before the eyes of whom we must all give an account. We must all give an account to our Creator. So this is how the story ends. Not only did Asa disregard the prophet that came to him to tell him what God said, but he put the prophet in jail and he began to oppress the people of Judah. This turning away and refusing to obey God led to his destruction and it cost him his very life. So believers and followers of Jesus Christ and those who are contemplating the way, we must maintain holy habits. We must be seekers who habitually seek the presence of the Lord. We must remain committed to our holy habits and spend time with Jesus, learning his way. We must have a habit of inviting him into our circumstances, factoring him into our equation, and repeatedly seeking and searching for what God has to say in the situations we are facing. Are you facing some situations today? I hear God saying to us, shut it down. Turn it off. Delete the distraction. Turn down the noise. Cut down the Asherah pole. Here, I hear God saying, seek my face. Come a little closer. Fast and pray and let nothing hinder you. Keep coming and keep coming. Don't give up. He's leading us beside still waters. He will strengthen us and hold us up. And it is the Lord who will guide us in the way that is right. Get in his presence and be still. Get in his presence and be still. He may speak in a still small voice, and you don't want to miss it because you have got a lot of distractions in your life. You don't want to miss the still small voice of God in the center of your heart. Delete the busyness. Delete the distraction. Turn away from sin and the stuff that really doesn't matter at all. Make meeting with God your custom. Make that your habit. Remember, holy habits are maintained by effective seekers. Effective seekers spend time. They clear the way and they respond to the call to action, God's voice in their heart. And they do that over and over again. Spend time. Let's talk about clearing the way. There are some things that must be cleared out. Your life must be in good working order because you are the vessel of transmission. You are the transmitting vessel. If you're going to hear the voice of God, you must be walking upright before the Lord, walking in righteousness, not just practicing righteous habits or religious habits. You must be actually living right and walking upright before the Lord. So check your life. Is it in good working order? Are you walking in right relationship with Jesus? We, you, and I must repent. Not just lip service, but we must turn away from the things that do not honor God. The things that don't line up with the Word of God. There are going to be things that hinder you. There's always something to hinder you from seeking the Lord. Hold on to your holy habits because there's going to be stuff. There's going to be junk. There's going to be distraction. There's always going to be something in your way. And once you've cleared it out, don't relax because there's always something trying to hinder you from the voice of God in your life. We're all going to have to respond to the call to action. So what are you going to do when you hear the voice of God in your heart? because there are many voices in our ears today. There are many distractions. Everybody has something to say. Many of us have and still are sheltered in. Life has gone from a fast pace to a slow crawl. Yet there are so many distractions in our lives. Many of the things that we busied ourselves with have been removed from our lives. Now we have time to look at what truly is important. We have been forced to focus on life and death, sickness and health, over and over again. We've been uncomfortable for quite some time now. We've been pushed and we've been pressed to recline on our habits for stability and for direction. Oh, how I hope that we have holy habits. Oh, how I pray that you're holding on tightly and fighting to maintain your holy habits. What are you going to do when everything hits the fan? When what was right is no longer right? When what you relied on is no longer reliable? What are you going to do when what you thought or who you thought would help you is no longer there to help you? When the standard of operation is no longer the standard that is sufficient? When our jobs and our money and our resources and things that we counted on are no longer in the equation? When what you thought was the answer is no longer the answer, what will you do when the ground is shaking under your feet? What will you do when there's trouble all around? Oh, saints of God, I pray that your soul is anchored. I pray that you've been fighting the good fight to hold on to the Master's hand, seeking his face, because there is a call to action today. How will you respond? Let me encourage you, be ever so careful to hear clearly what God is saying to you and do that. John chapter 2 verse 5, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, the earthly mother of Jesus, she said to his disciples at the wedding feast when they had run out of wine, she said this, whatever he says to do, do that. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Get committed and stay committed. You're going to have to respond to the voice of God in your heart. That is the call to action. At some point, saying, by faith, you're going to have to make the move. You're going to have to come out. You're going to have to re-enter the workplace. You're going to have to go back to your classroom. You're going to have to re-enter your churches. You're going to have to re-enter and re-engage in society. It's going to be okay, but I want to know, when you come out, what will you say? Who then will you give the praise to? Who's going to get the honor and the glory? Who will you say like David, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would have been consumed? Or will you say for the mercy of God that I am still here and alive today? Will you say that it was God who held me in the palm of his hand? Or will you say that I made it because I followed all the directions, the rules and the recommendations, that I had access to all the protective equipment, that I had access to all the high-tech medical equipment? That's how I made it. Will you give the credit to God? I just wonder today, what will you say? Will you say, if I had all these things, or if I had none of these things, I know one thing, that it was the Lord who kept me. It was the Lord. It was the blood of Jesus who covered me. It was the God of all creation, the sustainer of life and death. It was the Lord, God Almighty, who brought me through. You see, I know this thing for myself. But you see, he fought for me. He stood up in my crisis, and he raised up a standard against the enemy on my behalf. It was the power of God that protected me. It was the power of God that said no to COVID. She's got more miles to run. She's got work to do for the kingdom. It was the Lord who kept me. It was the Lord. So when I wake up in the morning and I see the dawn of a brand new day, I know it was the Lord. I know it was the blood that kept me. Yes, it was the Lord. And it is the Lord that's keeping you today. It is the Lord's doing. So remember what God has already done in your life. Be encouraged. Be stirred up in your inner man. Be strengthened. Faith in God oftentimes looks foolish to the world. So saints of God, children of the King, your life is more precious now. And if you and your family are still here today and you find yourself under the sound of my voice, be encouraged, be strengthened, be fully committed to the Lord. Know that it was He who kept you. Hold on to your holy habits. Remember that the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro, and He's going to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So hold on to your holy habits. Be strong and be courageous. Let the world know that it was the keeper that kept you, and at some point you're going to come out when the spotlight is on you and the microphone is in your hand. What will be your testimony? How will you respond to the voice of God? What will be recorded in history for you and your family? How are you going to come out? Don't waste the grace that was poured out on your life. Give God a chance to be famous in your life. Come out with your hands lifted up and your mouth full of praise, with heart full of thanksgiving. Remember that the keeper has kept you, and remember to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. May God bless you. May He bless you richly. May He keep you in all of His grace, because it is His power, His sustaining power, that is keeping us today. We're coming out, church. We're coming out, and the world's going to be watching. So lift up your hands, give God the praise, and let anybody and everybody know that it was the Lord. It was the Lord, your God, that kept you. God bless you, and God keep you. And may His face shine brightly on you. May His countenance be gracious upon you, is my prayer. How are you looking out there? How are you looking? Do you know the Lord God, the God of your salvation? Maybe if you are really honest, you would say, preacher, I don't have a relationship with God. I don't feel like I'm in the family of God like you're talking about. I know that there's a God, but I don't feel like I know Him like that. He's not my personal Savior. But if I have a chance, I'd like to invite Him in. Well, today is your chance, and today is your day. I want you to pray this prayer for me. Lord Jesus, I believe You died for my sins, and You rose from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I ask for Your forgiveness. I repent by turning away from my sins. I invite You now to come in to my heart as my Lord and Savior. I surrender and I submit to to you, your word and your ways. I receive your free gift of salvation by placing my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you've already prayed that prayer, but somehow, some way, you don't feel like you are in right relationship with God. Your relationship isn't what it should be. Maybe you feel like if God whispered something in your ear, you would miss it, because you really don't know the sound of His voice in your heart. Maybe you are hearing it or have heard the call to action, and you're afraid. Maybe you're hearing it right now. I want to pray with you as well. Pray this prayer with me. Lord, help me to do what is right in your eyes. Search me and test me. Wash me in the word. Let your word have deep roots in my life. Let it be my foundation. Mold me and make me more and more like you. I really want to be effective, Lord. I really want to have impact. Help me hold on to holy habits and do whatever it is that you say do. Amen. Amen. Remember, if you are newly added to the family of God, and if you are making that decision today, call us, email us, send a note through our website or social media so that we may pray for you and connect you with a friend to help guide you through the Bible. The phone number is 215-748-4578, and our website is TaylorTabernacle.com. Connect with us. And let's celebrate what God is speaking over your life. And now we're going to move into the ministry of giving. So thank you for joining our broadcast today and supporting this ministry through giving of tithes and offerings. If you would like to give, please go to our website, TaylorTabernacle.com/giving, and follow the instructions to give online. Or you may give by mailing a check to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. You can make your check out to Taylor Tabernacle. You may want to give also by text, by texting the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. Again, the phone number is 73256. Then text TAYLOR61 and you'll get a link back to complete your donation. And we thank you. If you have any difficulty, please contact us for additional assistance. Thank you. Now may the love of the Father, the tenderness of the Son, and the precious presence of the Holy Spirit guide your footsteps and strengthen you as the day of the Lord's coming is approaching. Now to the only wise God, our Savior, be all the glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Let all God's people say, Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Remember that our deacons and prayer teams are waiting for your call. Area code 215-748-4578. And on the website is TaylorTabernacle.com. Thank you so much for joining the broadcast this morning. Remember to hit subscribe right there on your YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle, so that you can stay informed and up to date with the upcoming gatherings and times. Be blessed, and may the grace of God be with you until we meet again.